This is the SF Productions Podcast Network. How I Got My Wife to Read Comics, Episode 375. Can a comic collector of over 25 years get his wife to read them? Will she let him keep them? Learn more in this podcast. Let's go to the comic book lounge with Mindy and Mark.
Super Spy meets Superman. How many obscure characters can you fit in one book? Queen's Law Assemble. Stay away from the beautiful globes. And Gail Simone does horror. This is How I Got My Wife to Read Comics for Sunday, October 25th, 2015. I'm Mark.
And I'm Mindy. Just a reminder, you can go to sfpodcastnetwork.com to get the feed, other SF podcasts and blogs, or you can subscribe via iTunes, or you can leave us a review.
You can email sfpodcastnetwork@gmail.com. Like us at facebook.com/sfppn. Follow us on Twitter @sfppn. Check out tumblr.com/blog/sfppn. Or call us at 614-321-9737. That's 614-321-9SFP. Well, we were on vacation the last couple weeks, so we ran some crisis episodes.
And if you are interested at all in our vacation, you can follow it on Mark's blog, where he's posting pictures now.
That's right. So that means we've got 3 weeks to cover. So let's get started with Grayson Annual Number 2 by Seeley, King, Martinez, Fernandez, and Cox. Our super spy teams up with Superman. We begin with a flashback to the dynamic duo fighting Blockbuster, who was this Bronze Age behemoth.
Now, isn't there a Blockbuster in Marvel, too? Or am I thinking of something else?
I'm trying to remember the name, but it's not Blockbuster.
Okay. But it's a similar kind of
character. So they wear him down, and Superman then finishes him off. And there's a nice callback in this whole thing to classic World's Finest, back in the days when Batman and Superman actually worked together on a regular basis. Bruce warns Dick about Clark, saying he's not just a guy, he's an alien. So we then cut to the current day and the middle of Dick's sojourn to Gotham before he returns to Spiral, as shown in his own book. Clark catches him, thinking he's falling.
Thinking, yeah, that he jumped off the roof instead of that he was just doing his, you know,
acrobatics.
Yeah.
Which isn't easy since Clark can't fly anymore. And they discuss their current situations and they're like, well, the lives of superheroes, huh? The Fist of Kane attacks, and these are assassins who compete for points, and our heroes are high on the list. So they lead the bad guys out of downtown via Clark's super cycle, which is what Dick calls it, of course. Clark stopped naming them because he doesn't want to get attached.
Did you see that later on? He says, oh, he missed Vroomy.
Vroomy. It's unclear how Clark is actually paying to buy motorcycles over and over. But
yeah.
Kane brings in Blockbuster, tying back to the flashback, and our heroes head for one of Bruce's safe houses. Dick tells Clark why he picked Nightwing for a name. Now, Nightwing and Flamebird was originally a Silver Age attempt to capitalize on the Adam West Batman success in the Superman title. And in that case, Clark and Jimmy would go to Kandor for fun and act as Kandor's dynamic duo. Of course, that's all now been wiped from continuity, and it's just a Kryptonian fairy tale.
Mm-hmm.
Clark says, we're going to have to call in Luthor for help.
Now, is Luthor still in the league at this point?
Yes.
Okay.
Of course, Dick is fairly incredulous at this whole thing because Luthor is the one who killed him.
Yeah.
And Luthor doesn't believe this non-powered guy is Superman anyway. Of course, neither do I.
Yeah.
But he helps him out anyway, just, again, for fun. Ah, sure, here you go.
Yeah.
I did think there was great dialogue throughout this story. And hey, someone can actually make Superman interesting as opposed to in the regular Superman title.
Yeah.
Justice League United number 14 by Parker, Pelletier, Hunter, and Cox. It's a shame this title has been canceled because nowhere else could you see the following characters in a single story. Cyborg, Robot Man, Stargirl, Batgirl, Sergeant Rock, Enemy Ace, Vandal Savage, The Creature Commandos, oh, and OMAC.
Yes.
pairing Enemy Ace with Stargirl, I think, is just inspired because no two disparate characters could you ever find. I love how Robot Man takes on G.I. Robot, who's part of the Creature Commandos. The dialogue and story really sparkles. I recommend you get this title before it's gone.
Yeah, they always kill the good ones.
Astro City number 28 from Vertigo by Busiek, Chelliner, Ross, Broom, and Comicraft. This is more of a hero-centric story than normal, but it's still concentrating on their lives rather than the battles. Wolf Spider is Astro City's version of Ant-Man. This Australian child who's bit by a rare spider, and his scientist mother uses an untested serum that shrinks him down to tiny size. Hence, he stayed indoors a lot and got hooked on a terrible superhero cartoon called Queen's Law, which is a team with members from each Australian state, and they're all very much stereotypes. His mother realizes his genetics would allow him to operate four more limbs, so she makes him robotic limbs like you do.
Well, you know, if you've shrunk your kid down to size, of course you could make him robotic spider limbs.
Yeah. A later treatment allows him to control his size, and voila, you've got superhero Wolf Spider. He joins Honor Guard, and later, Queen's Law appears for real, and he goes to see them out of curiosity and is offered a spot on the team.
Well, less offered a spot on the team than sort of takes a spot on the team.
Yeah. Of course, it's all a scam to get info from him. And we learn a professor in the 1940s figured out how to give cartoons life based on the public's belief in them. And this is where a character we haven't seen for quite a while in Astro City, but he was established a while back, called Looney Leo, who's this, looks like a cartoon lion, and he like runs a casino or something.
Mm-hmm.
This is where that character came from. Wolf Spider breaks up the gang and realizes he has to let go of the past. I thought it was a really well-written story with great characters, which is what you always get from Astro City. So Vertigo is launching multiple new titles, finally, to actually be a ongoing publisher in October and November. So how are they doing? Well, here are two examples. The Twilight Children, number one by Hernandez, Cook, and Stewart. Gilbert Hernandez is best known for Love and Rockets. Darwin Cook is best known for DC's New Frontier. It's a really dynamite combination. The story about a modern island village and a wife betraying her husband, a drunk who befriends local kids, and these mysterious glowing globes that appear and then disappear. The kids go into a cave they were warned to avoid, and then something happens involving the globe. A mysterious woman with white hair is also involved, who's seen the last few panels.
Mm-hmm.
The dialogue, I thought, was very naturalistic.
Yes.
And the artwork from Cook is just spectacular.
Yeah, and I hadn't realized that he had done the New Frontier, but it really is very similar to that, but it's actually very nice.
His depictions of women is just particularly fantastic. I'm not sure if this is a miniseries or an ongoing. I hope it's the former.
Well, you never know with Vertigo, because they could start off as an ongoing and turn into a miniseries, or the miniseries could turn into a series of miniseries.
Right. Clean Room number one by Simone Davison Hunt. This is a bit of a departure for Gail Simone, because it's really straight-up horror, and not for the squeamish. A lot of blood and guts going on here. If this was a movie, it would be a strong rated R. A truck driver in Germany runs over a girl on purpose, apparently.
Yes.
And then the girl who's injured sees demons afterward.
Mm-hmm.
A suicidal journalist sees her fiancé kill himself, and the guy's buddy is now homeless and maybe crazy. This all comes back to this self-help book that might be making people insane. The journalist goes to discover the truth. It's kind of like Dianetics meets Necronomicon.
Mm-hmm.
It's not my cup of tea because I'm not all that big a horror fan, but I was curious about what you thought.
Well, I'm still a little bit on the fence about it. I'm intrigued by it, and I think I would like to continue it. Although this might have been one that I would rather read as the book rather than the floppy, so I'm not sure.
And that's generally what Vertigo's shooting for anyways, is to get you to buy the trades.
Mm-hmm.
Now, before we go on, I want to note the passing of Murphy Anderson this week. He and Kurt Swan created what most consider to be the definitive Superman of the 60s and 70s. In fact, they were referred to as Swanderson. He co-created Zatanna, the Atomic Knights, and the Silver Age Hawkman. He designed Adam Strange's uniform and did the Wonder Woman artwork for Ms. Magazine number 1.
Wow.
He was inducted into the Jack Kirby and Will Eisner Halls of Fame and just this week died at 89. Is a major, especially in the Silver Age. He actually goes back to the Golden Age. He was the artist for the Buck Rogers Daily Comic for like 2 years in the 40s. But he had huge influence on the industry. He later started a company that worked on color separation in comics. And so he helped to expand the color palette in comics. So before we get out of here, it's time to play America's fastest growing new game show.
Guess who's on the cover of Entertainment Weekly? Are you ready, Mark?
I'm ready.
Let's go.
TV related?
No.
Movie related?
Yes.
Single movie?
Yes.
One person on the cover?
Yes.
A man?
Yes.
A man over 40?
Yes.
Over 50?
I don't think so.
Okay, 40s. He's the star of the movie?
Yes.
Is the movie genre related?
Yes.
Is it science fiction?
Not really.
Is it fantasy?
No.
Is it superhero?
No. Not really.
Not really. Is it...
An argument could be made for that. But...
Is it horror?
No.
Is it supernatural?
No.
Though it's kind of science fiction.
Vaguely.
Vaguely science fiction.
You might consider it science fiction.
And it's a movie that is coming out.
Yes.
This fall?
Yes.
Oh, okay. Let's see. 40s. Is it a big movie coming out?
Yes.
It's not Star Wars.
No. That would not be vaguely science
right,
fiction.
Right. That's why I didn't think it was that. Is the actor mostly known for genre work?
The actor is probably mostly known for this role.
Oh, okay. So he's mostly known for this role. Is it spy related?
Yes.
Is it Daniel Craig?
It is.
Okay.
That was a big clue for me.
Yeah. Yeah, okay. I'm like, guy in his 40s? He's just starting in the industry?
No. But you have to admit you don't really know Daniel Craig from
That's
anything
true.
Else.
You're right. All right. Want to remind you to go to sfpodcastnetwork.com to get the feed, other SF podcasts and blogs, including our From the Pop Culture Bunker video podcast. You can subscribe via iTunes and please leave us a review.
Email sfpodcastnetwork@gmail.com. Like us at facebook.com/sfppn. Follow us on Twitter @sfppn. Check out tumblr.com/blog/sfppn or call us at 614-321-9737. That's 614-321-9SFP.
Thanks for listening, everybody.
Bye.
Bye-bye.